Well, good morning to you, all you Gator fans. You're grieving this morning. I'm Buddy Martin. We're going to do a little show here. Our group has rallied. We came back from a late night at the stadium. Band troops standing by in the Orange and Blue Blood room. And this is Orange and Blue Blood Sunday. I'm Buddy Martin. We're going to chop it up with Band Troop and Lauren Meadows. Stay tuned. Coming your way right now. Tell your friends and neighbors. The Orange and Blue Blood Sunday is on the air.
Yes, it's time again for Buddy Martin. Call him up and tell him what you're thinking. But be kind because he's doing the best he can.
Better. Stronger. Faster.
Mama says that alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth but no toothbrush.
Hey, what if the voice calls while you're gone?
Take a message.
Ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
I'm incapable of small talk. But that's why you love me, right?
Kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
Well, good morning out there. The sun came out this morning, despite the fact it looked like last night it was all over. Tough night in the swamp. Losing a game, an SEC game, which the Gators were favored to win and actually had the game in air control with a little, 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, and then it happened. Close, but no cigar. As I wrote last night, some broken dreams. It won't be the last time it's happened to a lot of people. We'll see how bad it is, how much you're grieving about it, and whether or not you can really live up to that pledge. Remember, if you're an orange or blue blood, the pledge, I believe in the boys and girls from old Florida in all kinds of weather, and I won't back down. Okay, enough of the cheerleading. We're going to get right to Ben Troop, who's standing by. Lauren Meadows will join us. First, I want to say this. We got back from the stadium last night. Oh, it was about 1:30. I got to say, the hardworking group we had there for you for Gator Bait. And by the way, this is about Gator Bait, too. Just remember, lower left-hand side there. GatorBaitMedia.com drives this whole thing. Buddy Martin Show, the show Ben Troop and I do on Thursdays, the Gator Collective. And this morning, I want to thank Ben as well, along with Brendan Martin and Chris Spears did a fabulous job of shooting pictures last night. Of course, Franz was still typing when I left the stadium at 12:30. Kyle Francis was there doing his thing. Of course, Chad Lawrence and Lauren, the whole team. It's a good team. It was a difficult night. Let's go talk to the troopster, the guy who puts it all in perspective for us. Thursday nights and now on Sunday, when we're grateful to have Ben here. And Ben, good morning to you. And did the sun come up today in Savannah?
It did. It did. I mean, I went back. The one thing I do, buddy, I go back. I watch the tape. I turn the sound down. When I turn the sound down, then I can just see the game. Mm-hmm. I'm not going off the energy. I'm not going off the crowd. I'm not going off the analytics. Mm-hmm. I'm not going off the announcements. And it's something you said before the show. Look, 16-16. It came down to, you know, a bad communication between the receiver and obviously AR, you know, Anthony Richardson, and then that's a touchdown. Obviously, the second pick. That's just a. I mean, the only way to say that's just a hell of a play by that linebacker. I mean, I keep looking at it, and he made an incredible play. But for everybody, number one, I'm going to do my Cole Spurrier. We're not going undefeated. All right. We're not going undefeated this year. You tell me a team that didn't – no. Let me say it this way. It's not the whole team. The defense them, you know, for my offense, their offense score away. A couple of touchdowns, and I think what happens is, but he lost 26-16. It wasn't your best effort. Two turnovers. Once again, we didn't win the turnover battle. We didn't win the time of possession. Our third down efficiency, I think we was like 4-16. We was 0-2 on fourth down. So when you start breaking down the parts of the game that helps you win or lose, we didn't win any. We didn't win any of those things, and you lost by 10 points. I think what happens is, social media has made everything so much more sensationalized. People start thinking Anthony Richardson is not a good quarterback. Not true. I want to say it might have been the first play of the game when he threw it. He got hit. He got hit, like, down by his ankle. I'm not making excuses for him. Mm. They're going to have to work on that timing. But it's a loss. You'll take it. Congrats over to Mark Stoops. Will Levis and company did an incredible job of taking full advantage. But we shut down. They had 70 yards rushing. They had 202 yards passing. But what happens is, you know, Javon Dexter, incredible play. I think our defense played well enough. You know, Marshall just.
They did play well. They did.
Listen, and that one-on-one ball with Marshall in the end zone. Hey,
that's questionable. By the way, that touchdown was still. I'm not going to go back on it now because the call is a call.
But that ball came loose.
That ball came loose.
I will say this. When we get to talking about, you know, the University of Florida, these guys are realizing now, hopefully, everything is magnified. Whatever you do, good, bad, mm-hmm. and it's a week-by-week, season. 1 week, mm-hmm. hey, man, y'all beat us. Y'all went out there, you know, Anthony Richardson on all these lists. Next week, mm-hmm. oh, he can't throw. Not true. Yep. Oh, he got to work on his touch. I will say, though, when it comes to the passing game, you go from short, intermediate, too long down the field. And like I said, we lost. I'm not going to make excuses about it. I agree with what Billy Napier said. I like the character of this team. I like the fact that they ain't hang their head, still went over there by the band after the game. Little gestures mm-hmm. like that show that, hey.
Might make a difference, yeah. I agree.
We're going to have to earn it. And like I said, congratulations to Kentucky. Congratulations to Mark Stoops and what he's doing with Kentucky. If you are Florida, you lick your wounds, you watch the tape, you go in there, you be honest about, mm-hmm. You take an honest assessment, you come back out there Monday, man, ready to go. Because you know, buddy, like I said, yesterday was not our best effort. But if you, I would say this, if that's going to be the offense's worst effort for what we seen yesterday, and when I say offense, I mean Anthony Richardson, if that's going to be his worst effort, he's going to be fine. I think with Anthony Richardson, he's got to realize certain plays that he had to tuck it and run it, he rushed it. He's so fast. Like coaches always say, when you're getting ready to run, take one more second. Because on that, I think it was third down, it was like a called run. He rushed so fast that he ran right into the linebacker. But at the end of the day, I can live with it. As Coach Spurrier, Coach Zucker say, you play this game long enough, you're going to lose some games you should have won. You're going to win some games you should have lost. Mm-hmm. You take the bitter with the sweet, and you go back to the drawing board. Javon Dexter,
He played really a good football game.
Brenton Cox was out there playing. We had some good plays last night. I really like what I saw in Etienne. I think Etienne and Montrell are going to be a nice, 1-2 combination. Tight end's going to have to work into the fold a little bit more. And and other than Pearsall, Justin Shorter, some throws got behind him, but we're gonna work on the timing.
Let's be honest about it. Anthony was off. He had an off night. He threw the ball high, but he had open receivers. He even said that last night.
And I think what happens is too, buddy, is it's like this. The practice is a barometer of what you hope you mm-hmm. translate to the game, right? Anthony mm-hmm. Richardson, he got such a cannon. Sometimes he got that fastball. Can you, like you say, can you mm-hmm. throw that changeup? Mm-hmm. Can you throw that slider?
Yeah.
Can you add to your arsenal? Because everything don't got to be that sudden. Get comfortable in mm-hmm. the pocket. Understand that it's gonna be fine. And hey, take that loss. Stop. And hopefully now, I don't know, but the greatest thing Ron Zook used to tell us is this: don't read the paper. Now it's don't look at social media.
Yeah.
Because you listen, you're never as good as they say you are. You're never as bad as they say you are.
Exactly.
It's one loss. It's one loss. And you go back to the drawing board.
All right, Pastor Troop, always good to hear you say, put it in perspective. I'm going to give you a reality check of what the facts say. And this is not opinion. This is just when it happened. And this team, despite the quarterback being erratic, and he said last night in the post game, he said, people expect a lot of me, and I expect a lot of myself. Look, I've seen the best of them go down in flames, okay? Steve Spurrier against Georgia, John Reeves against Auburn, Danny Werfel against Auburn. You know, they've all had their bad nights. This wasn't a – by the way, if you feel bad, how do you think they feel this morning in College Station and South Bend? Not too good. And I get it. There was large expectations – here for everybody after last week.
How do, how do, How you think they feel in Nebraska right now?
Yeah,
Nebraska,
exactly right. Yeah, that, yeah.
So it's kind of
yeah, in Lincoln, yeah, exactly. And, but I wanted to say that this is, Ben, you played the game at the highest level. You're going to have these days. Now, is it okay? No, it's not okay. I get Gator fans for me. I mean, I've seen some absurd comments. But for the most part, I think Gator fans get it. And by the way, Swamp was not a present. It was maybe sold out, but they were not. There were gaps there last night. They got 89,000, and they were good. I'm going to play a clip in a minute of four or five plays where you hear the crowd. Crowd did pretty good. But, you know, you could feel it. We were in the stands, and we said, you know, just don't have quite that juice. You know what I mean? It wasn't quite there like the opening night. So let me take you back now, Ben. Despite all the problems, and Anthony's numbers were horrible at this point in time, but Florida has the ball. It's 16 all, and they're moving the rock. They're going down. Listen to this. Richardson rushed right for 2 yards. Richardson short left. Richardson passing complete. Richardson middle for 4 yards. Right rushed for 3. Right rushed for 8. No huddle. First and 10, Kentucky 39. Hold on a second. The play that, of course, turned it all around was this play. First and 10, the 39, they're going to win this game. They're going in, right? They're moving the ball. And they got a first down on the 39 of Kentucky. And it's set up, you know what's going to happen. They're going to take it in and score, right? Wrong, my friend. He threw a perfectly good pass to the wrong guy. First and 10, Kentucky 39, no huddle. Richardson pass, intercepted by number one, Keadron Smith. And here's the bad news. A Florida boy from Palm Beach beats the Gators, okay? Now, you say, well, they had chances, but they could never overcome it from there. Now, Ben, you know there's really great teams overcome these things.
Yes.
They don't have quite the juice yet in a situation like that, despite the home crowd, despite things, whatever. And give it up to Mark Stoops. They did a really good job of containing Anthony Richardson. And so there it was, and they threw the pick, 65 yards by Keaton Smith, and they never got over. They tried, they got, you know, whatever. But the defense played well spots, but hey, like you said, man, you play long enough, you're going to see something like that happen.
Of course you are, buddy. And the thing is, when it comes to Anthony Richardson, right, hopefully now everybody sees, not just himself, not just the other 10 guys on offense, the hardest thing about the quarterback position is, can I just play the quarterback position in a way and let my athletic ability be an extra added gift, extra added bonus? Because, I mean, I agree with some of the comments. You can't expect Anthony Richardson to break long runs every single series. But when it comes to sitting in the pocket, going through your reads, making the right throw, that's playing the quarterback position. That's everybody. That's A.
Yeah, yeah.
Because as great as when people talk about Anthony Richardson's greatness, they're talking about how great he can be, right? But like anybody, buddy, you know how it is. Sometimes being that gifted is almost your curse, because people know what you're capable of.
Yeah, and he said last night, people expect a lot of me, and I expect a lot of me too.
And think about this, buddy. You know how much easier his life is when the run game is solid and he can just sit in that pocket and throw. Meaning, hey, dude. I told him, you got to pull out that cape when need be. And what happens is the game just comes to you, because the more you run, the more beat up you're going to be. Not mention the fact you're going to have to take some hits in the pocket by making a throw. Guys seem to come open right when that D tackle finna come bailing down on you. But I've been playing this game long enough, seeing this game long enough to know these are the games you need to help you become the player you need to become. Because no matter what, you'll go, hey, man, let's get rid of the highlight. Don't even, as my coach say, do not look at your highlight. No. You save that for when your career is over. Look at the plays, because I guarantee you, if we're in that meeting room, buddy, they'll say, hey, if Billy Napier say, hey, Anthony, what you supposed to be looking at? What's your first read?
Lost you there for a second, Ben.
You went over. Don't make stuff up. Do what we coach you to do. Life is much easier. But shout out to Kentucky, because they have to live with
this. Yeah, I mean, for sure. Yeah.
2 years in a row. But, buddy, hopefully we'll look back on this loss and say, hey, man, this was the catapult to the season. I know it's only the second game. No one really knows who they are yet. Just ask Alabama. right?
They barely won.
Just ask South Carolina, who put up big numbers, didn't matter. So
30 points and lost the game, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but go out there. Billy Napier, man, you know what he showed last night? Maturity. When he's sitting there talking to the media, and I'm not comparing him to no other coach, was honest, was open about it, said, look, man, that starts with me. But we got to go out there and get it done. So like I say, when you were at Florida, everything matters. And right now, Florida got to get back to the win column, but we got USF coming up this weekend. Hopefully we can get back in the win column.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so that play, again, made by a Florida guy. I don't know Keiadron Smith. Let me say this about Mark Stoops. He came in there prepared. By the way, their outside linebacker, what was his name? I got it written down. J.J. Weaver. He called the shot. We didn't want to hear about it. He said midweek, we got a little something for Anthony Richardson. It's called game plan, and he's not going to be able to use his legs to beat us. And guess what? He was right. They didn't. And they contained him very well, and Anthony got very frustrated. Come on in, Brendan. He got very frustrated, and he made a horrible throw for the pick six. But you got to remember, it's all on his shoulders. Now, look, I understand Gators being frustrated. There were some questions there, comments, whatever. I'm not going to try to be who arbitrated here and tells people what to do. Fans are fans. It was a beautiful night last night in the swamp. The rain stopped. I've got a shot here somewhere of the moon, which Brendan Martin took. We're going to put that up. It didn't go Florida's way. But I wanted to, just for a minute, to take a let me play a little bit of sound, a little bit of action here on what it looked like last night. Man, I'll come back and we'll talk about this, and we'll talk about what's ahead for these Gators.
They are so eerily similar, especially early in Vince Young's development.
Completed his first pass of the night for 16 yards, then 0 for his next three. Now this, first down with time, diving effort is complete.
It's a big addition to this team. Look at them beat the defender inside. The corner can't quite collapse. Full layout, secure.
Good rotation, good ball contact, and through. So the five-play drive with the short field ends up for three on the board for the Gators. They're without three running backs from the running back room tonight. Play action as Levis goes high but complete to Jordan Dingle. And his big tight end is out to the 44-yard line.
They're all just so effusive in the praise of what they've seen from this young man through three starts.
Second and seven. Richardson. What a strike to Henderson.
Job here trying to sneak his tight end Zanders out into the flat. He gets collisioned, stays with it. And wide receiver and Will Levis. He can exploit every square inch of this field because of how strong his arm is.
He impressed him right away in spring as an 18-year-old. Levis, play action. They go with the crosser to Upshaw.
All week long, we got to stop the run. So that's exactly what Ventrell Miller does right here. And as a result, the tight end works right in behind him. Look how quickly those Florida linebackers trigger. It allows plenty of space behind him to Upshaw. Will be huge for recruiting down the road.
Third down and 10. They bring pressure, gets rid of it to the outside and complete. Great arm talent and a great route run by Justin Shorter.
From Anthony Richardson, he releases this ball to the far side of the field. Everything's been underneath, so at some point, they're going to try to rock them to sleep and throw it over their heads.
Three drives, three punts so far. Only one drive that went into Florida territory. Rides the play action, has plenty of time to crank it up and go downfield and into the end zone for a touchdown to the freshman Dane Key. Will Levis, how about that?
Show, that's the play I wanted to show right there. On this night, Ben. You, and thanks to Brendan Martin for getting those highlights. And Brendan's to my right. Say good morning to Ben. Here's the thing. In a game like this, you got to get the majority of the calls to go your way. There's one right there, the touchdown pass, that I think it was Kinder, whoever went up and defended the play really well. That ball was a 50-50 ball. The guy grabbed it, came down. That ball came loose, but it's one of those 50-50 calls. You could have gone either way, drop because it touched the ground, or you could have gone touchdown. In their opinion, there wasn't enough evidence to show that he lost possession of the ball. Now, did he? I don't know, Ben. You saw the play. But you can't go through complaining about those calls. But you can say there were certain moments in the game that could make a huge difference, and that was one.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm never we gonna do this every week, buddy. I'm never ever gonna. I'm not depending on them zebras, man. I'm not. When it comes to them refs, you only like them when they're giving you calls. You can't stand them when they're not. But I just think that those a couple of throws that you just showed, Anthony Richardson,
yeah,
showed that he got the arm talent. But the thing is, with him, it's like, if I know going into a game, I don't want my legs to be a freaking asset. I don't want that to be the reason why we're doing it every day. And I just think that for me, at the end of the day, Anthony Richardson is going to have to decide, do I want to be a pocket passer or do I want to be a freakish athlete with a big arm? And because you know what everybody's going to do, right? Everybody's going to watch that Kentucky tape and they're going to say, this is how you stop Florida.
Yeah.
Until we prove that the passing game can be an asset to the running game. So.
Yeah. For sure. So the pressure's on 15, which you got to handle that. That's how it's going to be as long as he plays at Florida. And sometimes your fastball gets across the plate, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes when you step back on the first tee at Augusta, you rip it and it goes down the middle. Sometimes it goes long grass. This is sports. Anthony's still young. He's just 20. This is, what, his third start? He started against Georgia, I believe, last year, so that would be his third start. I think Billy said two. And so these are the things he's going to learn how to have to deal with, and he will. But before we get Lauren in here and talk with him about some of the X's and O's, I want to say to fans, express your frustration. It's okay. You know, go ahead and say, man, I had my dream set. I was going to Atlanta. I get it. It's okay. But don't start making comments like I heard last night by some woman online who said, yeah, Anthony Richardson, stop strutting the baton and just pay more attention to what. I mean, just nasty, mean things, you know. It's counterproductive. And this is where I draw the line. I get the frustration, Ben. You do too. I get the idea they're disappointed. It was a disappointing night in the Swamp. It was not a disastrous night. There were disastrous nights in Lincoln, and the South Bend, and, you know, and other places like that, and that we saw last night with the, with the upsets. I mean, App State, my goodness. It really, Tennessee should have lost. But anyway, so there's frustration everywhere. I'll let you say good morning. Brendan was right here. He was on the sidelines. What'd you see down there, Brendan?
What's up, Ben?
What's up,
Ben? First of all, I mean, I get the fan part of it. I mean, it's Kentucky, you know. You don't want to lose at home, but you don't want to lose at home to Kentucky. It just is what it is. It's Kentucky, and it's an SEC team, and it hurts. First and foremost, it probably one of the weirdest games I've ever been to in the Swamp. It had a very weird vibe, and had a lot of people say that last night. It was just weird. We just started looking around. I was talking to a couple of photographers, and it's like, man, last week I couldn't even get down to the field, you know, 10 minutes before a kick or 20 minutes before a kick, because people jammed inside the hall and the vomitories before, you know, going to get food and all that stuff. It was like a traffic jam. Yesterday, you know, you went right in. I don't know if it was the delay of the game or what, but the vibe wasn't there. And I would, before we even discuss, I think, the players, I always say, you know, I felt Gator Nation, you know, as a whole, like, fandom-wise, I felt like they didn't bring it last night. I felt like everybody was...
The
Swamp
off.
Was quiet. It wasn't anywhere as raucous as it was the week before. People did that whole thing where they show up sort of late, and they get into their, you know, they getting into their place.
And there were gaps in the spot.
Yeah, there were. Just people, I mean, here come the Gators came out, and half the stands wasn't in there. It was just a different vibe. I think people started to sit back and think, oh, I think the rankings definitely hurt, you know, Gator Nation. People were really... expecting a lot. First of all, you going into your bye week 500 with a new team or the new coach, a whole new offense. You know, it just, I think you should be, you know, a bit, check yourself a little bit there. And realize that, you know, that win against Utah had a lot to do with a great home environment. So that's sort of like my first feeling about it. And I know last night was a full moon. I believe it was a full moon. But it
wait a minute. We'll see. Hold on.
There's the picture last night.
Right,
I shot
there.
At the end.
There's the moon right there.
Yeah, it felt like a full moon. It felt like a... It was very, very strange. And when I went out afterwards to lick my wounds to have an adult beverage, I walked into my local bar here in Ocala, and the Tiki Lounge. And the first thing that the bartender said, "Man, what a weird night." He wasn't even talking about the game. He says, "Man, what a weird night." So anyway, not to go on about that.
Yeah, let's bring Lauren
in
here.
My second comment about AR. And I thought it was interesting that Ben, you did it first, and then Buddy did it, and I did it talking earlier this morning. You had a baseball analogy that was and that's kind of where I was thinking. I felt like I've been there before as a pitcher growing up. You know, you hear sometimes this comment: "Stop aiming the ball." You know, I felt like he was trying to be perfect.
Yeah,
and when you really, really grind, if you played enough, you know, sports or whatever, you hear that in that position. Because if you have to throw a ball or whatever, if you try to aim it at something and you really, you know, you're really, really grinding, I don't care, darts, I don't care if it's pool, you got to stop aiming the ball and just go out there and have some fun with it. And that was sort of what I sort of.
Good point. I agree with you on the baseball now. Just go. Here's our buddy Lauren. He was there last night. He was in the locker room afterwards. Say hello to Ben, Lauren. Good analogy, Brendan. I agree with that. What was it like in the locker room last night there, Lauren?
Kind of like everybody's saying, kind of weird. It was just one of those things where it was almost like kind of a stunned kind of atmosphere. Everybody was just kind of quiet. I mean, it was some talk back and forth really about some of the other games, near upsets around the country. But, you know, what you found was everybody just kind of came in and took ownership of whatever their role in the loss was. Napier kind of stepped to the podium, talked about, you know, his job as a leader is to prepare the team the best way that he can. Gervon Dexter, you know, kind of stepped in and said, you know, we know what's at hand. We know we got to get better. We thought that, you know, we had a good game plan. Patrick Toney called a decent game. Just didn't make the plays when we needed to. And then I think in the biggest, I guess, shock of the evening was I think a lot of people didn't expect to hear from Anthony Richardson. And I think what was most impressive is he walked in visibly shaken. And, you know, you feel bad for a young man. I think sometimes people, you know, they need to understand that that's a young man, but it's also someone's child. And, you know, I mean, he stepped up, looked everybody in the eye, and they asked him, "Why did you come?" And he said, "Because I wanted to let you guys know what's going on." And, you know, he said some things that you expect a young man to say, that he let his team down or that, you know. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead. Listen to it.
Okay. That he let his team down and he felt like the loss was on him. And, you know, it was just, it was impressive to just see him come in, take responsibility. But I look for him to be a little bit more motivated for the rest of the season. Not to say what motivated last night, but you just saw the growth of a young man, and it's kind of like, I mean, it's not as monumental as the speech from Tebow, but you may look back 3-4 games from now and him walking to the podium in what is, I think it was far worse, a performance due to the expectations after last year's Georgia game. And I think, you know, this could be an opportunity for him to turn the page and continue to get better. But that was kind of the last night was just, it was kind of quick. It was over pretty, you know, obviously with the loss of that magnitude, it's just, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, you know, like they say, my mama told me there'd be nights like this. I want to read a comment and go to Ben. I wrote an article saying Anthony Richardson's confidence was shot down, and so were some dreams, but there's always tomorrow. And a reader, Kevin Raymond, wrote in, I was at the game, saw Richardson limping after the first few plays. After that, he didn't limp anymore, but he never put any weight on his left leg when the motion was disrupted. I didn't see him playing hurt. Ben?
I mean, if he was playing hurt, that's football. I mean, yeah. I don't know what people. Right. I don't know.
That was a rumor going around last night.
Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, even if he was hurt, as I was always told, you ain't been 100% since you came out the womb. Mm. That's football. Everybody's out there dealing with something, and if you out there, you out there limp. And I agree with Lauren. You're gonna learn more from times like this, like Anthony Richardson going up to that podium when anybody else would have said, "Man, I'm going home. I don't want to." That says a lot.
Yeah, you're right. I'm going to point that. I'm going to agree with you on that. That was big. And even the media last night thanked him. Edgar Thompson said, "Thank you for coming in here, lads, because you didn't have to." He showed up last night. Give the man a little credit for that, right? Like you said.
I think that's the difference, though, buddy. I think to him, he did have to. I mean, I got to go.
Yeah, no, I do too. But he's young, man. He doesn't know that.
He is young, but Anthony Richardson understands this, man. They're going to look at you for everything. How do you handle losses?
Yeah.
How do you handle bad situations? And it is one game. Anthony Richardson is realizing right now, as long as I step up here, because he understands, the press ain't did nothing to me, man. I got to stand up there and talk to y'all, good or bad. That's what you learn. Not when anybody want to do press, when I go out there and have, you know, a heroic type game, can I stand up there when I don't? And his teammates need to hear him say, Hey, fellas, this is on me. And they're going to get better. Like I said, it's the second game of the year. I don't think nobody knows what their team is going to be for the rest of the year. But I can respect the fact most young people in college won't do no press. They'll never do any. And most of them will never, ever have the top spot of being the starting quarterback in Florida. I told Anthony Richardson, as long as you can deal with the good, you got – or in the words of Denzel Washington, if you pray for rain, man, you got to deal with the mud. He had to deal with some mud last night. It's fine because this time next week, we're going to be on here talking about USF. Good or bad.
Yeah.
It's like Anthony Richardson got to show up every single day because that's what being a quarterback is, man. You can taking the bitter with the sweet. And I respect what he did last night.
Right. I agree. And so give him points for that. A lot of comments on the message boards about what going – look, like I said earlier, I'm not saying I've seen everything in Gator football. I haven't. I saw John Reed throw 9 interceptions against Auburn, all right? A team that was better, they were better than him. Steve Spurrier got beat up by Georgia and lost that game, which forevermore he'll never forget. We've seen Danny Werfel throw picks, the Heisman Trophy, and all of them. And we'll see now, and I think the point's made, Lauren, that Ben's right. Let's see where he goes to this. And Billy said, listen, I'll take character. He talked about Anthony. Like you say, he might have been dinged up, but he still made the throw to Smith that was a pick six. And he owned that, by the way. He owned it. So, you know, I think and the thing about this guy is so much about him, even though we try to not make it that way. When he has a bad night, Florida's not good enough to overcome it. And and even though the defense played pretty well, but so I watched part of the watch back. I thought some of those guys played an incredible game. Then Ventrell Miller got hurt, and we don't know the extent of that. And so, like I said, let me reiterate, and I'll throw it back to Lauren. Brendan, it's disappointing, but it's not a disaster. Like I said, things are tough today in Lincoln, and how about that greatest recruiting class of all time at Texas A&M? What happened to them last night, right? I mean, it's different. It didn't turn out the way it was scripted, does it, Lauren?
No, it doesn't. And I think that, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the week, and I kind of warned everybody against that Wildcat food poisoning. I mean, if you followed this rivalry for about the last 5 or 6 years, Kentucky has been a thorn in Florida's side. It just they match up extremely well. Really with the last two head coaches, they just match up extremely well with the personnel that we have. And they've really, you know, they've really played us well at both spots. And, you know, you take out, I think, 2020, I mean, the game has been extremely close other than that ball game. And I think it's just one of those things where I kind of caution myself on saying that we got out coached. What I will say is I think it was a baptism into the grind of the SEC for Billy Napier and staff. I thought that, you know, you when people try to pinpoint one particular player, things like that, I venture to say that it just was one of those things where it just things weren't in sync, where everything kind of fell in place against Utah last week. Just didn't seem to be in sync from communication. You know, if you look at us on defense and go back and look, and Ben can echo this if he agrees, we just didn't look like we lined up as sharp. We didn't look like it just looked a step slow on everything. Like you said, the decision making, you know, Anthony Richardson, like you said, buddy, maybe trying to aim the ball because we weren't as precise.
Actually, and Brendan said that. You're right. That was Brendan's comment.
It was just off. And mm-hmm. and I think that was one of the things. And like I said, Billy Napier, I think, is the right person for the job. And not because of him as a play caller, but I think the way that things have been organized with the program and how things are put into place. But at the same time, I think now you've got a sample size of, I'm going to say, 150 mm-hmm. plays with Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. And now what you go back, and because he has to play well for Florida to win. Right now they do not have the depth and the people around him to continue. But you find out what he can do well mm-hmm. in those 180 plays, what really works. And now you go from there. Because I just think last night I hate being like this because you know me, buddy. I'm probably a fan first. I didn't understand not punting with 9 minutes left in the game and three timeouts. That was something that, you know, I think that, you know, not that Billy Napier owes me an explanation, but I think if he had to do it again, particularly the way the defense was playing, we talked about how well they played. You know, now you flip the field, you got some field position, you know, you never know, could have got a turnover. And just you know, as a whole, it's just one of those things where, like I said, ultimately though, starting today, they got to turn the page, look to USF.
Yeah.
But I think, well, you know, you take those 150 plays,
right?
You got to find out what Anthony samples Richardson
what he can do, well, right? That's right the best. Now, I agree. I don't mean that, to step on you, Lauren. I just want to get to a point before we get too far in. You can finish the comment in a second. And I want to get back to Ben on this too. Let's be honest. I didn't think Billy called a great game last night. And I thought he got a little conservative. And you brought up the point about punting. I think he should have punted there late in that fourth quarter. I just kicked it away, and I don't think he believed in his defense enough to stop them. And consequently, I'm not second-guessing, but I am second-guessing. He even said last night at the end of the game, we didn't play well and we didn't coach too well. And there were some moments that happened. And so I'm going to let Brenda say something here, and then I want to get Ben's thought about the play calling. I kept thinking, I'm sorry, late with 8 minutes to go. I know Spurrier didn't like to punt, but some of the calls, run plays, when you're lying down and struggling, I didn't think they were well-timed. Brendan, go ahead, and I'll get Ben's comment on that.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks for everybody for showing up for this show with us this morning. Gene McLean, thank you. He says, thank you for all the men showing up this morning, the Origin Blue Blood. You guys got it. I know everyone got home late last night. Just want to say, if you would like to contribute to our show, you can hit the stars button down there. That is very helpful for us. Pays for our gas money to go up to the swamp. And
we got gas money?
Well, I get it. You don't get anything, but I get it. It actually pays my bar tab, gas money.
Close by.
Yeah. So anybody, just hit the stars button for God's sakes if you really care. And secondly, about the coaching, I felt like Billy and staff got a little out coached last night. I feel like they are coaching around AR a little bit. I felt the play calling was conservative against Utah a bit as well. So, you know, maybe you got to look at that as well. But I think it's hard to grind on all that. You don't know. We don't know the ins and outs of what's going on the sideline. We don't know exactly what's going on. Maybe AR twisted an ankle. Maybe he has a bad.
But like Ben said, that's football.
But that is football. That's what I was saying. You got to play up. So, but you know, we're not always privy to that information. No. But you did get the sense of, like, especially in the second half, like, you know, you got to get him in open space, right? You got to let him be AR. You know, he's going to
– he's kept making overthrows.
I know. I just felt like on the sidelines, you just felt like he wanted to go, and then he was kept second-guessing when to go and not to go. Should I run?
Yeah,
and then he kind of got caught in that half second, and you can't hesitate there. And then you look up, the receiver looks open, but, you know, that throw's gone. You're late if you see him open.
Yeah.
You know, you should have already thrown that ball. And I felt like there was a lot of that going on. I did feel like the defense played fantastic.
They did times. Yeah.
And when you're on the field as a defensive player that long throughout the game with turnovers, it's difficult in a place like the Swamp. It's exhausting.
No.
And I felt like the defense stepped up. You can't expect your defense to win that game every time against an SEC opponent. It is difficult. And we just lost Ben there, but it's as difficult as may be. I think that's what we saw last night.
I wanted to add a comment from Ben, but he's hoping to rejoin us. He had disconnected. Lauren, go ahead. Let's talk about the play calling. Yeah, okay.
People were talking about, you know, for instance, and I think I wrote about this a couple months ago, is, you know, Billy Napier uses quite a few of his tight ends and things like that, likes the two tight end sets and those kind of things. And I think last night we might have, the situation where maybe we could have gone with some 13 personnel instead of the 12 personnel that he likes to use, and maybe done even some 10 personnel where we have four receivers on the field, three receivers and the tight end versus the two tight ends, and maybe, you know, been able to stretch that defense a little bit much, maybe outflank them a little bit in the running game, create some space a little bit. Because the problem with, you know, we run the two tight end set, but we don't have, it's not necessarily great gifted tight ends that necessarily create mismatches against linebackers and safeties and those kind of things. And like you said, I just thought same thing, kind of conservative. And, you know, some ill-timed, like the screen passes into the boundary sometimes and some of that stuff. It just, you know, trying to figure out what they're trying to do as an offense, what identity they're trying to create. Yeah, I mean, I just thought that at times it was just, I mean, throwing a slant pass on fourth down and having that built in, particularly when they're not blitzing and things like that. I could see if it was on a hot concept and you're alerting to something. But it just, you know, some of the stuff just didn't seem to really, I mean,
questionable calls. Online,
like Brendan said, I think we need to get him out in space because
he made choices too, though. There's Francis being in the press box, and Benny kept saying, run the ball, Anthony, run the ball. And, you know, and there were times when he should have run the ball. Getting back to you, glad we got you back, because I'm going to get one more comment from you about the play calling, about what you thought of it. You know, I don't think it was horrible. I didn't feel like they were making the right calls. In fact, back to the issue of the Swamp, I kept looking at Franz saying, something, there's no juice here tonight or something. Crowd was good. They did a good job, but it wasn't the same as Utah, naturally. Give me your thoughts, Ben, on the way. Well, we'll take it up to the third quarter with 3 minutes to go, 16 all. You had to pick. Now how do you play it? It seems like the play caller never got in rhythm, Ben. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, the play caller, sometimes it is questionable. I don't like the quick passes. Like those screens that I just taken and throw it out to a guy to try to make a guy miss. Guys got to prove they can separate. Like if Anthony Richardson is going to sit in the pocket and throw a Pearsall can separate, Justin Shorter, I know he runs great routes and different things at college. I mean, in practice, they got to throw the ball downfield. Like the 50-50 ball that the touchdown that Mike wasn't. But I think the thing about the play calling is, you know, make things simple. Give them some simple throws before, you know, like I said, you go from short to intermediate to deep. And I do think some of these calls are, hey, man, I'm going to make a call. Hopefully a guy can make a guy miss. No, man, put a guy in a position to go out there and make a play. Because sometimes when you just, like, I don't like the play calls that seem as if I want the guy to just be athletic. Throw him the ball, let him be athletic. You got an athletic quarterback, and like I said, when the run game gets kind of neutralized, that makes us one dimensional. And in a passing game that we really don't know what it is, just so Yes, the play calling was questionable. I do agree with you, Lauren. You got to punt the ball, and we've gone for it on fourth down four times in two games. That's not normal. Going for it on fourth down, and our third down efficiency was about as bad as game. I think it was like 4 for 16 or 3. You can't win like that. So time of possession, third down efficiency, and if we go for it on fourth down, give us the best play call we got. And other than that, like I said, confidence is built when you make the plays in the game. Practice is one thing. You got to make some throws, make some catches, because right now those receivers, they're thinking, okay, what is going to be our responsibility on this team? I know we got some capable guys. I know Henderson, and I don't even know if Whittemore and those guys have even gotten into the passing game yet. So for me, yes, open up the play calling a little bit. And unfortunately for me, nothing against USF, I'm not going to judge it off of them. I expect us to win this game this weekend, but for teams like Tennessee, you're going to have to open it up, because Kentucky has given the entire SEC the blueprint. You take away 15, and it's going to be much harder for them to beat us. But I think the play calling is going to expand as the year goes on. But no more of these little quick little throw it out to the receiver, try to get a block and make a play. To me, that I understand trying to get guys on the perimeter, but man, show a little creativity in the play calling, get some crossing routes.
Yeah,
they hit that freaking tight end. That tight end in Kentucky, he just running crossing routes. That's all he's doing. He's just running crossing routes.
I agree with that. Crossing routes for Anita. I agree with that. Good comments, man. Just to get back to this real quick. Easy throw, yeah, right. That's what he needed, some easy throws. Yeah, he needed some easy. This real quick, I'll get you guys to each make a comment, get out of here. But if you ask about the third down, the fourth down. Third down conversions, Florida was 4 for 13. 4 for 13 is not good. And Kentucky was 4 for 60, which is worse. Fourth down conversions, Florida 0 for 1. And Kentucky 1 for 3. So we've established that on a night when the quarterback wasn't playing well, the offense didn't have a rhythm, something was wrong. Give Mark Stoops' game plan a lot of credit. They really did a good job of containing Anthony Richardson. And late in the game, when Billy called those quick handoffs, and guys got stoned. I mean, that was the part of the game I didn't understand. I thought they made some mistakes. But mistakes were made, and they all learned, and we'll see where they go from here. Let's start with a comment from Lauren. Then, Ben, I'd like you to kind of preach to us a little bit, and then Brendan will give a comment, and then we'll wrap it up. All right, Lauren, your overall thoughts, where do you go? Because right now, I hate to say it, but probably 10-2 is off the table. Probably 10-2 is not there. But there's still a lot left, and there is an 8-win season at least there. Lauren, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think going into it, I thought if we could come out 1-1 from these first two games based on how young of a team we are and the personnel, I think that Florida's in a good position to continue to improve, get better. And I'll still stick with my 8-win prediction.
Yeah, I got to bet 8-2. I think Ben does too. We thought maybe 9 was possible, but now after Utah, that's off the table.
9 seemed possible.
Yeah,
right. And so now, what does this team become? Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think maybe we played in the secondary. For instance, Jalen Kimber was the one that gave up the 50-50 ball in the end zone.
But that was he was there. He made the play. It didn't go his way. That guy had to make an athletic play to make that.
Yeah, but you got to make an athletic play too. I mean, I think we did not have our best corner in the game. And there's things where they were playing, they're starting to play some people. Like I said, it's week 2 though. They're going to find out. I think we just continue to see where they go as a football team. You got a sample size of what people can do, what's available to you. You got a couple injuries, so you had to plug and play, see what happens with Michael Tarquin, Ventrell Miller, some of those guys. Mm-hmm. But where we go from here is to USF, and Florida will look to – I think the big thing, like I said, forget the score next weekend. what does the product look like? And that, I think that's what, you know, if we could see a clean football game from the Florida Gators, I think you could walk away going into your first big road test 2 weeks from now feeling like you're at least on the right track. I think that nobody will be looking to bounce back more than Anthony Richardson. The only thing that I caution is I hope in his bounce back that he doesn't press even more. You know, I hope that they allow him to grow, give him things that he can handle, and just put together a simple game plan where he can just execute at a high level and not necessarily even make the wild plays, but just execute with consistency and really in all three phases of the game, just continue to get better and execute with efficiency.
Okay, Lauren, you agree with that? If not, what do you think, and where does this team go from here? I mean, it should be Ben, I'm sorry, yeah.
I mean, I agree with Lauren. At the end of the day, the offense for Kentucky scored 14 points. They scored 14. We gave away six, and they had two field goals, right? Mm-hmm. That's the game. I do agree now, you know, when it comes to them 50-50 balls, we got to win them. Yeah. Like, we got to win them 50-50 balls. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when it comes to these type of games, we make too much of them because it is just one game, right? It's just one game. I get it. And the thing about it is when it comes to a guy like Anthony Richardson, this is where he grows up to realize, dude, it's on you. It's not just you, but it's on you. Defense played well enough to win. We didn't make enough plays in the pass game. We didn't win the turnover battle. And we didn't win the time of possession. So at the end of the day, I mean, what I give a guy like Anthony Richardson and the rest of the squad is this, man, grow from these things. Don't make so much about it though, because buddy, Lauren, Brenda, you guys know this. Look, you a starter for the University of Florida. You're gonna get way more praise than you should. You're gonna get way more scrutiny than you should. Way more. Mm-hmm. But just go out there and play. Control. I will never. When people talk about game plans, people talk about play calling. I will never ever blame a coach for what a player controls. They call the plays. We got to make them. And I listen. And I am not calling out any offensive coordinator that I've ever had. But there are plays that come in that if the 11 guys on the field believe it, we can make it happen. You get guys going, oh my God, what is that? These are the type of things that people don't see, the body language. So listen, no one cares anyway. Go out there and get it done. You at Florida, go out there. I won't never make no excuses for these players because they get to do it. But take your behind out there and get it done. Win your individual battles. Create a new line of scrimmage on the offensive line. Run the football. Anthony Richardson, throw it to the open guy with your curly. Yeah.
Get the right color jersey.
what do you guys think is harder? Anthony Richardson being 20 years old, getting ready to have his fourth start, or an 18-year-old freshman named Chris Leak with his first start being at Death Valley? I think 18 at Death Valley is a little bit harder.
Yeah,
right.
So,
and he had to do it. And he had to do it. So I'm sorry, but you know, go out there and make it happen, man. Go out there and control them lines. It's one game. And this is how I know I've been in the media a little bit longer. If this is 6 years ago when I first get in, yeah. Brendan, Long, buddy, y'all got to talk me off the ledge. I'm saying, you know what? But we in the media, we get to help shape these narratives. We don't create them. We just get to help shape them. And it's going to be all right. I think that, like I said, Notre Dame doesn't have a win yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say this. Do not play the Sun Belt. If you want to win games, stay away from the Sun Belt. They beat everybody. Don't play them. But, yeah. Hey, listen, we won the one. It's all good. Congratulations to Mark Stoops, Anthony Richardson. Yeah. Dust yourself off. Yeah. You know, and he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Well said, Ben. Both of you. I'll give you another chance, and I'll get Brendan there.
Okay.
I just want to say Ben's batteries are running out because he's been in that car for about an hour and a half. I do want to get that. That's a good thought. And I want to get Lauren's thought. And in the end, let me repeat one thing. It's disappointing, but it's not a disaster. Okay? Keep that in mind. There's a lot of football. I hate to use it because they left to play. And we'll get your comment, Lauren, and Brendan will get set you good truth.
Why do I always go last in the world?
Lauren, go ahead. Lauren.
Tired of that.
Say the best for last. But
I'm going last.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Go ahead. Think about this, and I think that's, you put it into kind of a box. It's 16-7. Kentucky's punter has just had the ball go over his head for safety.
Yeah.
We get the football with the opportunity to go up 23-7.
Mm-hmm. Close it out.
Interception. Mm-hmm. They get the ball on about the 7-yard line. Mm-hmm. Things go awry. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what this game of football can do and what effect those little things can have. And mm-hmm. I think what we'll see is if Florida's going to be an 8-4 football team, mm-hmm. the next time we have an opportunity to go up 23-7,
finish
they
it
make
off.
It count. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. That's a very good point.
That'll be a barometer of where, and I don't care if it's USF, I don't care if it's Eastern Washington, mm-hmm. I don't care if it's LSU.
Finish the job.
Get a safety. Mm-hmm. You finish the job.
I thought they had it at that point last night, Brendan and you, after the long snap, and I thought this is going to be wrap it up, they're going to win the game.
Yeah, after the
but
safety.
they're just not a mature team, Brendan.
Well, and that's what you see. Look, and I would like to say this: if you're going to lose in college football, lose early, right? Because it gives you a better chance at the end. I think if you're going to go into a bye week, you know, you don't want to lose, but if you got a team in development, you've got 2 weeks to just grind on these guys right now. You're going to hear a whole lot about where you weren't wearing coverage and how you blown coverage. You know, this 2 weeks is going to be interesting going for a coach. I think you have a lot of, you know, my hope is that the coaching staff utilizes this loss well, because you know I felt like, you know, they say as a parent, and we just lost I think he had to go to church probably, but that's what Nat Blaylock said, and agreeing with Nat Blaylock said last night, I felt there was something emotionally off last night, you know, with AR. I felt like the confidence was off. You know, I just feel like that, you know, they say something as a parent, you don't want to be friends with your kids, right? You want to be a parent. I feel like Billy's a little too close in some ways, you know, because he gets that complacency and a lot of that, you know, that you know, you want that sort of like Urban Meyer sense. You go in there and you know, like these guys played like crap, you know, like you want a little bit of that lambashing. So I just felt like, you know, that team last night got a gut check. This is what's like to be in the swamp. This is what you're up against. It's not going to always be, you know, awesome, and you're going to have to get it up. And that's like you said, Lauren. You got to finish when you got them on a safety. I mean, a safety, a bad snap. You're in their head at that point. You've got mm-hmm. to finish that out, and that's what frustrated me the most. Because I saw that, I said, that's a ball game. We got them now. And then, you know, it was just like a couple of mistakes, a couple of bad passes, you know, and there was a bad call. You know, you can't play that game. You start talking about bad calls, I'm out. Like, I don't want to hear it, because that's just like excuses. You're going to have bad calls. You got to overcome them. And you know, and Billy, I think, you know, he knows he got out coached last night. He just straight up got out coached. You know, and Stoops was ready. That team was ready. I was on the sideline. They went off, but you know, after their pregame workup, they were pumped up. I mean, that I showed some stories last night. You saw the team running off. They were ready. You know, the press, the press room, our little press room for the photo room on the field, is right next to the visitor locker room. You could hear them before the game. They were up and ready to rock, and you know, Florida just wasn't. And I think that we're really just talking about a level of intensity there that I think they're going to have to learn how to bring it and shut it down and close. You got to close in the SEC.
Good comments, Brendan.
I used to have a friend that said he'll fight you in a handicap restroom stall if he has to.
Hmm. Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, forget about, you know, the fans and whether. If you're ready to roll, you're ready to roll. It don't matter if we playing in on Museum Road parking lot. If you're ready to roll, you're ready to roll.
You better be intense. And the intensity was not there last night. It was like a half click off. It just wasn't there, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, good comment. Good job by you, Lauren, last night. Looking forward to, I guess you got a piece coming up. Right? Did we get the Jen on the Blue Bloods? We didn't get that last night, right? The video, did you send it to me? Did Jen do some?
Yeah, I'll get
you. Oh, no, I just I'll thought, I'm not good. I thought maybe we missed it. I said, good job last night by you. Once again, to the team, I want to say thank you.
And if you don't know what Buddy's talking about, he's talking about GatorateMedia.com. Go there. Lauren is a columnist is there. You know, Buddy writes a column. Franz writes a column. Chris Spears take pictures.
Kyle Curtis.
So you got a whole. It's a whole. Now that we're in season, you've got a whole crew of people that just writes and posts for that website, yeah. and it's a digital download weekly, and it's beautiful. It does a really good job. Yeah. Just go to GatorBaitMedia.com, subscribe today, and choose one of the subscription plans. I'm telling you, you will not be sorry you did. I know a lot of y'all have been reading it online for, you know, we're giving out some stuff for free. That's going to be tapered back, and if you're not, you know, subscriber, you're not going to get that. There'll also be an opportunity to join an Orange and Blue Blood group on GatorBaitMedia.com. So really, it this week that we got some time, we're going to really ramp things up. So come check it out, GatorBaitMedia.com.
Brandon's done an amazing job. He's got some great thing. And by the way, we hit 10K. I want
to
say that.
Yeah, and then thank you to on the Buddy Martin Show. We've got over 10,000 followers, which is a big deal to us.
What was your plan? 10K on by
10K game by day? Game day. Yeah. You know, and that was literally 789 followers we had to pick up, which was a miracle in a week and a half. And Gator Nation, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to Joe Blackburn who helped us out with that. Really a big deal for us. It makes it possible for us to actually make a couple of bucks with, you know, some
what?
Yeah. Wow, with Facebook potentially. So look for us on YouTube where we're launching our YouTube channel. If that's your bag, we're gonna have our podcast back soon. If that's your thing, you can get all your podcast networks. You can catch us on the Buddy Martin Show. And we've got a Facebook page at Gator Bait Media. It's at Gator Bait Media on Facebook.
It's just too much for them to remember.
Shush!
I don't remember all that.
God bless. That's why I have this horn! Oh, shush! And
can I smack him, Lauren? Can I smack him?
And go and go Gators.
Put it on.
And follow Buddy at Buddy Show on Twitter.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to play the highlights.
Somebody's got to do
going
it.
Going out.
Don't
Lauren,
play the highlights.
Good job.
ESPN's going to get mad at us.
I don't care. Lauren, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Great job by the team last night. Thank you to Mrs. Meadows. We'll play a little bit of the highlights. We'll talk to you Monday night, our crew. Thank you, Lauren.
They are so eerily similar, especially early in Vince Young's development.
Completed his first pass of the night for 16 yards, then 0 for his next three. Now this, first down with time. Diving effort is complete.
It's a big addition to this team. Look at them beat the defender inside. The corner can't quite collapse. Full layout, secure.
Good rotation, good ball contact, and through. So the five-play drive.
Tomorrow night. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. Thank you very much for listening and watching. We got more coming your way on Buddy Martin Show tomorrow night.